on live for another great edition of Sports Club. Hope you guys enjoyed the new theme. We decided to change it up a little bit. That's just a bad song right there. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome into Sports Club. Happy Thursday. We are still on the hockey hangover. From last night's Game 7, Capitals, Lightning. Don't let the 4-0 score fool you. That was a Donnybrook of a game. That was a unbelievable, spectacular game. Obviously, Capitals won. We talked about it, or we'll talk about it more on Board Check next Wednesday. Chance will have a guest. A little housekeeping for this week. We will actually have from 680 The Fan and the big podcast with Shaq. We'll be talking to Rob Jenners, just an overall great producer and super guy. Like I said, from 680 The Fan, the big podcast with Shaq. We'll be talking to him next week. I'm excited to have him on. You guys should be excited. He's a phenomenal guy. Look forward to getting to a lot of Atlanta sports with him. Some things we're going to talk about tonight. Obviously, we are going to talk about the owner's anthem conduct policy. We're going to talk some Braves and some Falcons. We'll talk some Atlanta United. We'll talk some AAF. Lots of fun things we're going to get into. Hope you guys definitely enjoy all this. I will do my best to keep you guys entertained. And who knows? Last night's show was a little on the shorter side. Got the in and out so you can get to the game. Hey, no hockey on, no football on right now. Maybe you can catch your favorite baseball game here soon. Hope you guys are listening. If you are listening through the podcast, we definitely appreciate it, obviously, no matter how you listen to us. But also, if you would go to the iTunes store, if that is where you get this show, or if you don't, go to the iTunes store, give us a rating and review. A lot of you guys have done that. We are going to start working on some swag bags and such here soon. Give us a rating review. Leave us a question, comment, suggestion, whatever you want to do, and we will do our best. Just like we mentioned a lot of times, good friend of the show, Akil Coleman, he wants me to talk a little more. He wants to give a little more love to the Cowboys. Well, I'm going to try. As a Cowboys fan, I'm going to try, but I'm going to be real about a lot of things too. So, Akil knows that. Not much going on with the Cowboys right now. There's a lot of times this time of year you get non-news stories. Stories that people publish, people say are big, great, amazing things, and they are really filler because nothing else is going on. Those kinds of things, like, there was a story that came out, and hey, I don't blame you if you're a media person and you wrote this story. It's a good story. But saying that the wide receiver core for the Cowboys prove a lot of things to people or prove people wrong or got a lot to prove, or it doesn't matter. We're not even at mandatory minicamp yet. You want to know why Tom Brady's not there? Because Tom Brady has been in the league for like 18 years. And he's finally got to a point where he's like, hey, the word mandatory is not on the front end of your camp, so I'm not coming. Is Belichick worried about that? No. Julio holding out, I'm going to get to that here in a minute, but Julio holding out here in Atlanta, is Arthur Blank or Thomas Dimitrov or Coach Dan Quinn worried about it? No. Julio Jones. Here's one for you. The last 3, 4, 5 years of Tony Gonzalez's career, he didn't go to a lot of summer camps. He didn't go to a lot of mini camps. Why? Because he could stay at home. San Diego, somewhere in California. I forgot exactly where he's at. Probably better that way. Those kinds of players keep in shape all year long anyway. They know what they're doing. The team doesn't really need them there. If they want to show up, that's great. If they don't show up, that's fine. Gronk's another one. Gronk stays in phenomenal shape, even if he is partying, even if he is not. Gronk knows what he's doing, so if Gronk doesn't show up for a while, that's fine too. It's not like they're installing the game 1-4 playbook at this point. No, you're just getting everybody in shape. You're hoping nobody tears a ligament in their knee, something I may have done recently. Who knows? But to worry about these sorts of things. It's just not worth it, guys. Just don't worry yourself over these things. But we're going to get into all this. Here we are, opening rant, already going. Let's go right into the Falcons. Why not? If you're the Atlanta Falcons, or if you're the fans, you might worry yourself to death over these things. There's no reason to worry yourself. There's no reason. First of all, it's May. Your season doesn't start till September. The real games don't really kick in till October, November. And while you can't win a Super Bowl in the early months, you can lose one. Sure, there's not much to deal with here. Don't worry about it. Unless something happens to one of your big players, forget it. You know, don't worry about it. So the Falcons, they sit down with Matt Ryan. They decide they need to overpay him to keep him there. And, hey, that's fine. You know, we're very real about things here. Do I think he's worth being the highest paid at $30 million? Absolutely not. I would have gave him about 24, or I would have opened the door for him, or made him play out the rest of his contract, franchise tag him a couple more times, and be done with it. That's me personally. That's probably what the Packers are going to do, although the Packers are in a different scenario than the Falcons. The problem here in paying Matt Ryan is that Grady Jarrett has a contract coming up. Julio Jones wants his third contract, and he doesn't understand why Sammy Watkins is making about double what he is. Nothing personal with Sammy Watkins, but you're not Julio Jones. You know, just because I can hop on a bike and travel down the road at 20 miles an hour and do some fantastic riding doesn't mean that I'm Lance Armstrong. Can't win the Tour de France just because I'm good at riding a bike. So the fact that Sammy Watkins is making almost twice as much as Julio Jones, yeah, that's unfortunate. Here's the thing, Julio. Let me jump into this part first. Julio, I know you're listening, Julio. Appreciate you listening to the show. Julio, you still got a couple years left on your contract, the one they just gave you a couple years ago. This is the Aaron Rodgers debate. I think Aaron Rodgers should be the highest paid in the league because he's the best quarterback. But you signed your deal a handful of years ago. If you thought that the market could go here, or you thought maybe at some point it could escalate like this, or we'd be in this scenario, you should have either signed a smaller deal or negotiated a smaller deal, or you should have put some on the back end of your contract. That's coming from a team aspect here. Should Julio Jones be the highest paid wide receiver in the league? Yeah, he's got to be up there. Who are you going to put again? You know, who's better than him? Antonio Brown? I think I still take Julio at this point. But that's the team side. Let's go to Julio's side. You look around. Hey, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy over there. I'm probably pretty even with that guy. I'm better than that guy over there. I'm by far one of the top two in the league, top two wide receivers in the league. Why am I paid like I'm Dez Bryant? Hey, shout out Akeel Coleman and shout out Dez Bryant. Shout out Hey, look at that. We may actually be live at this point. Who knows? We will find out. I'm going to start over just to see, because for some reason, I don't think this microphone was working. Welcome to the show. Hope you enjoyed the theme. I'm going to repeat some stuff. If you guys had already heard this, then hey, it is what it is. Go ahead and fast forward through it. But I'm going to start right here. And I'm going to say, happy Thursday. Welcome to Sports Club. I'm Jeremy Van Pack York. Hope you enjoyed the new theme. I'm going to start right here. The Falcons solved the Matt Ryan problem. They did. They solved the Matt Ryan problem. They sat down. They overpaid Matt. They tried to prove to Matt that we believe in you. Never any doubt there. They overpaid Matt Ryan where they could have pulled what the Packers would probably do with Aaron Rodgers and say, you know what, we're going to let you play out your contract, then we're going to franchise tag you, then we're going to franchise tag you again, and then have a good day. Here's some Girl Scout cookies. Instead, they overpay Matt Ryan. Okay, let's move past that, because cap-wise, that's not going to hurt him that much. The problem is you got to give people like Grady Jarrett his second contract. You got to give people like Julio Jones his third one. You want to know why Julio's mad? Julio's one of the best wide receivers in the league, and Sammy Watkins is paid higher than him. Sammy Watkins is good. Yeah, I'm not sure he cracks the top 10. Julio Jones, one of the top two in the league. What, Antonio Bryant is better than him? Maybe. I think that's a coin flip. Odell Beckham? Nah, he's better than Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is notorious for dropping balls and making about two spectacular catches a game. So, you know, he'll have six catches and three drops. Yeah, why not have nine catches? But, you know, shout out once again to Akeel Coleman, in case you guys missed the whole front part, which you might have. Shout out to Akeel Coleman, who went to the iTunes store, gave us a comment, a rating and review. We definitely appreciate that. He says, hey, have a little more love for my Cowboys. Well, as a Cowboys fan, let me help you out. There's a reason why Dez Bryant is unemployed. The reason is his skills diminished, and Dez still thinks he's a top five wide receiver in this league. Unfortunately, Dez, you are not. Are you top 10, top 12? Maybe. You got to find somebody who can throw that back shoulder throw. Who knows where you're going to end up going, but it is what it is. There's a reason why David Irving is holding out too. The Cowboys have got a lot of issues that they've got to work out, one of which is not their quarterback, nor their running back, nor their offensive line. David Irving, their defensive line's fine too. They'll figure all that out. But back to Julio. Yeah, I understand. From the team control part of it, you look and say, well, Julio, you signed this deal a couple years ago. If you would have thought the market would do this, or you would have thought maybe you would want a little more money, you should have backloaded it and agreed to a little bit, either a smaller deal or a little bit backloaded deal. Said you took your money up front. You know, the Aaron Rodgers thing once again. Aaron Rodgers signed his deal 2 or 3 years ago to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. Well, that's fine. The unfortunate part is everybody surpassed him soon thereafter. And so now he's probably upset, which he should be, but he's probably upset that he's not the highest paid in the league. He will be soon. I think he'll end up in $32-33 million per range deal. But no, you solved the Matt Ryan problem by overpaying him. So now Julio's looking like, well, if you're going to overpay somebody else, why wouldn't you overpay me? I mean, that makes sense, right? So the Falcons have got that issue coming up. They also have the Grady Jarrett golf tournament coming up. I believe it is Top Golf. I kind of understand where you're coming from on this. It's kind of cool that Ray Lewis and some other people are going to be at it, but I don't know. I feel like it should have been a golf tournament. But, hey, Grady, you run your event however you want. Falcons, you run your event however you want. Those kinds of things. What I was saying earlier on that you guys may or may not have heard is, you know, Julio sitting out or Julio not being in camp, I don't have a problem with that. Because Julio stays in shape. He's just like I said, the last 3, 4, 5 years of Tony Gonzalez's career. You know what he didn't do? He didn't go to a lot of camps over the summer. There's no reason to. If it's not mandatory, no reason to. That's why Belichick is not worried about Tom Brady sitting out. There's no reason whatsoever to worry about people who aren't there or people who are staying in shape on their own. You know, Tony was somewhere in California. He was constantly working out, constantly staying in shape. He just had no reason to go sweat in the sun. No reason. What could you possibly tell your starting tight end? You're not installing the week one playbook at this point in the game, at this point in the summer. You're not. You're trying to get people in shape. You're hoping they don't tear ligaments in their knee. Hoping that I didn't do that as well. I don't think I did. I think I'm fine. But to be worried about people who aren't there. No, Julio's not holding out because of a contract. Julio's holding out because he don't want to go sweat in the sun. I don't blame him. If I didn't have to, sometimes I would. But that's not how it works. Not how it works at all. But Falcons fans, if you're worried about him holding out or that you overpaid Matt Ryan or this or that, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You're fine. You're going to be fine. Moving on. Cool little tidbit was J.J. Watt is going to pay for the funeral services for all of the Santa Fe High School shooting victims' families. I think this is just, he's not trying to get humanitarian of the year. This is just who J.J. Watt is. Some people say, oh, he's just trying to get recognition or he's trying, no, he wants to play football, but he's also a human. He's a great human on the other end of it. So I applaud you, J.J. Watt. I applaud you for everything you do. You do some really great things, and, you know, you are by far a pillar of the community in out there in Houston. The 2019 draft, that would be next year. They are going to put that in Nashville. That's not far from here. That's worth entertaining about maybe taking the show on the road up there, maybe try to catch some people. We'll see what we can do. But in Nashville, Nashville's a great place. It's an up-and-coming city. Yes, it's kind of developing now, but it's an up-and-coming city. You've got music, you've got movies, and obviously the sports teams are really taking off there. The Nashville Predators continue to do very well. The Tennessee Titans do very well. They're kind of coming up as well. Nashville is a very good emerging city, and for them to host a draft in April, yeah, that should be great. Because that means it'll be about 70 degrees, really nice, and tons of stuff to do. So congratulations, Nashville, on winning the bid for next year's draft. Speaking of winning bids for future events, the NFL, they are all in the owners' meetings in Atlanta here this week. We have not seen anybody at all. In fact, Arthur Blank is already on a plane to, I think, New York for something else. So he's even not in the building. But it was also announced this week by the league that the 2023 Super Bowl will be in Arizona, out there in Glendale at the University of Phoenix Stadium, I believe. And the 2024 Super Bowl will be in the Superdome in New Orleans. They're back in the rotation. I don't have a problem with those because Super Bowls are generally during cold times of the year, obviously. They're going to be in first week of February. So you want to go to warmer climates for not just the weather, but the overall safety of fans like yourself trying to get to these games. So don't have a problem with either of those. Mr. Tepper is going to be the owner of the Panthers. They are all doing the paperwork right now. It is going to be pretty cool, pretty fantastic. Jerry Richardson is going to be on his way out, and we will go from there. But welcome, Mr. Tepper, to the NFL family. We will look forward to maybe running into you at some games this year. Let's keep with the football theme. Johnny Manziel made a big announcement the other day. His big announcement, he signed with two different organizations. Pretty interesting. He obviously signed with the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL, who had his rights anyway. But he signed. It's a two-year deal, so he is going to play 2 years there before he decides he's going to play anywhere else or not. And he also signed to do some podcasting and other things with Barstool Sports. Barstool Sports, the up-and-coming kind of edgier media group. Those guys guys and gals do some really fantastic things. And I look forward to the insider knowledge that Manziel will bring to us, because a lot of people say, well, he's doing this to stay in the media, stay in the public eye, and he's doing this to remind everybody that he's still playing football and to get some more recognition. Yeah, he probably is. Hamilton Tiger Cats are not going to have a problem with it, and the CFL is not going to have a problem with it. No, what I think Johnny Manziel is doing by signing with Barstool Sports is he's leaving another avenue open. If he goes up there and things don't go his way, if he flops, I don't think he's going to, but if things don't quite work out, he does have to beat out, I believe, Jeremy Mazzoli, who has been up there for a couple years. Pretty good quarterback. He's got to beat him out, first of all. But in case this CFL thing doesn't work, and in case he can't find a starting gig somewhere else that is to his liking, Johnny Manziel would be a great media guy. I mean, we're talking potential another Tim Tebow. You put him on SEC Network, you put him on some of these other places, I think he's going to do great. He's going to do fantastic. So I think in signing with Barstool, he is not only getting on with the edgier people that will allow him to be him, he is keeping the door open that in case this football thing doesn't work, I can always go into media and broadcasting and such, because I think he'd be great. I think he'd be great. Let's see, what else do we have here? You know what, let's go on and get into it. Let's get into it, because I want to finish on a high note as far as that. The NFL owners have passed some new policies. Here's the Anthem policy. Yeah, Adam Schefter. Here's the new Anthem policy. Number one, all team and NFL personnel should stand for the anthem. Okay. The league office should revise the game operations manual to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for the anthem. Okay. Number three, personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or a similar location until the anthem has been performed. All right. There's two more of these, and then we're going to go through it. Four, a club will be fined if its personnel do not show appropriate respect for the flag and anthem. Okay. It's getting grayer and grayer. We all know there's many shades of gray. Okay. Number five, team may develop its own work rules regarding its on-field personnel who do not show appropriate respect for the flag and anthem. All right. Let's start with number one. All team and NFL personnel should stand for the anthem. Do I agree with that? No. Can I disagree with them making it? No. The NFL is a privately owned organization, company, whatever you want to call it, business, ran by 32 billionaires through their liaison, otherwise known as Commissioner Roger Goodell. That's not me taking a shot. That's not me making things up. That's not me trying to say anything negative. That is how the NFL works. It is 32 owners who govern through themselves, and also through Roger Goodell in the front office of the league. That's how it starts. If you own your own business, you have the right to make your own rules to a point, as long as they don't infringe on other things. You know, the state or federal laws, such like this. This does not. So if the NFL wants to say, hey, if you're on the field when the anthem's being played, you will stand or you will get fined. Let's get to number two. The league office should revise the game operations manual to remove the requirement that all players be on the field for this anthem. Now they're starting to get into muddy water. This is something they should have said before it was suggested that you stand, that is suggested, that you know, suggestion understood that, hey, you stand for the national anthem. Don't have to put your hand over your heart. Don't have to do anything. Just, hey, you stand when the anthem's going on. This is where the league messed up. Because years ago, the teams used to be in the locker room. The teams would stay in the locker room until played or a little bit after, and then they would come back in, or they would come onto the field at that point. Well, they started making it mandatory that they be on the field for the anthem, but they kind of suggested things and conduct as opposed to actually saying it. So, this is them trying to unmuddy the waters. We will see how that actually goes. But let's move on to number three. Personnel who choose not to stand for the anthem may stay in the locker room or a similar location until the anthem has been performed. All right. Completely different overall rules here as far as what I'm going to compare it to, but think of it this way. It's just like when a restaurant or a person or just a government in general say, hey, there's certain places you can no longer openly smoke. So if you go in restaurants or you go in maybe a local Target, you can't just light up a cigarette and go. If there are designated areas, there are even at stadiums, there are designated smoking areas. If you would like to smoke while you're on the premises, you can go to these areas. This is pretty much what this is saying here. If you choose that you do not want to stand for the anthem, or you don't want to be out there for any various, just maybe you don't want to be out there for the anthem. Doesn't mean you're against it. Doesn't mean you're tarnishing the military or the flag. No, maybe you just don't want to be out there. It just makes it less muddy. Then you can stay in the locker room or the tunnel, wherever they say that it's okay for you to stay until the anthem's done. Okay, no problems here. Number four, a club will be fined if its personnel do not show appropriate respect for the flag and anthem. Wow. How complicated will this get? So let's say player K. Too many people say X. Player K. So player K decides, fine, I'll come out for the anthem and I'll stand for the anthem. I won't kneel. That's fine. What if player K raises his hands in the air and points to the sky? Is that considered respecting the flag and anthem? What if he just raises a fist? What if he salutes? What if he sticks his hands in his ears? You need to actually outline, I hate that it's going to have to be this picky, but you need to actually outline what this is going to cover. Because if it's open to interpretation, then one day you may get fined, the next day you may not. And we just need to have uniformity here. So they're going to have to clean up number four somehow. Number five, each team may develop its own work rules regarding its on-field personnel who do not show appropriate respect for the flag or anthem. So what they're saying is when the NFL fines the team, if the team wants to pass that buck on to the player or if they want to punish the player in some way for causing the fine, that's up to the team. Well, I do know that Mr. Johnson, not Woody, because he is serving under the president right now, but his brother that is running the Jets has said he's going to pretty much stand with his players. Not literally. He may literally do it, but he's going to stand behind his players if they want to protest in some way or something like that or do things that may be considered disrespectful, whether they are or not, or interpretation once again, but he's going to pretty much back his players. There's a lot of other owners and coaches that have said similar. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what they do with this. I don't have a problem with it for the most part. In most media rows that I've been a part of, everybody stands for the anthem. Majority of people put their hands over their hearts or salute. You definitely do not have to. It's encouraged that if you want to, you can. If not, you know, there's nothing going on there. But if this is the NFL rule, remember it's a privately run organization or business. It's their prerogative. And if they want to make these rules, then that's fine, but there will be consequences. And the fact that the president is backing all this is going to make a handful of people probably protest that may not have to start with. So we'll see what happens. We'll obviously be looking forward to the first time that these rules will be enacted on a field. And we will see what happens from there. Moving on. Talk about the AAF, the American Alliance of Football. They have officially confirmed their, I believe, fifth city and head coach. Obviously, there's been five head coaches in cities announced, and there has been one offense coordinator. Start with the team, because these are all pretty recognizable names. In Memphis, your head coach is going to be Mike Singletary. Yeah, head coaching experience, pretty good coach. 85 Bears. In Salt Lake City, you're going to get Dennis Erickson. Don't know Dennis Erickson? Google him. Trust me. Good head coach. Great experience. In Phoenix, you're going to get Rick Neuheisel. Maybe he'll bring his guitar. He's a fantastic singer, writes great jingles. But he's going to be in charge of the Phoenix. Once again, big-time head coach, big name, big experience. You're going to get the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, who I met back in, was it December? Great guy. He's going to be in charge of the Orlando team. Right here in Atlanta, we're going to get Brad Childress. Remember, he's the Vikings. Pretty good coach. Michael Vick's going to be his offensive coordinator. The AAF is so much further ahead than the XFL. It's not comical. It's what it is. The XFL wanted to be the first to announce. They rushed to make their announcement. And in doing so, they made it seem like they had more of their ducks lined up. Maybe they do. They just haven't announced it. Vince McMahon is not going to do anything half-heartedly. He's either going to do it or he's not. He's going to do it fully or not. So he's going to start lining up some things. We've actually reached out to the XFL for some people to come on and talk. We will, if we get those on, we will definitely have them on and talk about them there. AAF as well. Because right here in Atlanta, we'd love to be a part of it. And we will be a part of it. We right there at these games, talking about to you guys, doing some interactive things and such like that. But the AAF, they're going to be a part of the CBS network as well. Pretty much their season is going to start next year, where the XFL is going to be the year after. It's going to start right after the Super Bowl. So this should be fun. It should be a lot of fun. Moving on. Let's talk some Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves. Had a miracle 6-run ninth inning the other day. I believe it was on Saturday versus Miami in the ninth. Here's the thing about this team. They don't rely on home runs like the Yankees or some of these other teams do. They manufacture runs. They bunt people over. This team is so different. The pitching is solid, even the bullpen. The bullpen's going to have problems here and there. You know, nothing new as far as that. Trying to get some standings for you guys, but it's been a little difficult. But no, this team, you know, I was able to take my wife, celebrate our 7th anniversary. Took her out to a Cubs game. She's a big Cubs fan. We were able to take in a game. This team, they're very scrappy. If you let them hang into a game, they will hang 3 or 4 runs on you like they did in the 8th of this game, of the game that I went to. Here we go. The Atlanta Braves are in first place still of the National League. Philadelphia is actually a half game back, but they are at 29-19. A lot of people didn't think they'd win 50 games this year. There's a weird chance that maybe they don't, but there's a good chance they do. But this Braves team, all right, here's my one beef with them. And then I'll move on to positivity. They signed Jose Bautista to play third base. And then when he proceeded to play about twice a week, hit .220 with 2 home runs and 10 RBIs in a couple weeks, they released him. My Mets picked him up. That's fine. But when they signed Jose Bautista, shout out Joey Batts. Appreciate you listening, bud. When they signed Jose Bautista, they made it seem like here is one of the missing pieces of the puzzle. He's going to be a big powerhouse. He's going to play third base all the time. Made it seem like he was a key cog in the wheel here. And then they unceremoniously dumped him. So once again, just like the Acuna demotion, so that they can have a year of control. I totally get the moves, but yeah, there's water on my shoe and it's not raining. We'll put it that way. But this Atlanta team, this Atlanta team, 6-4 in their last 10. They did drop that game to Philadelphia. You can't win them all. They seem to win a little more on the road than they do at home, even though they have played 8 more games on the road than at home. Go out and see a game. This Braves team is worth watching. They are a very entertaining watch. It's what I said from the very beginning. They would be an entertaining watch. And the bonus is it's a great park. It's a great atmosphere. It's super affordable tickets. And this team is worth watching. They're fun to watch. If you can't go, watch them on TV. This Atlanta Braves team is fantastic. We're going to try to get some people on associated with the Braves here soon. But the Braves are a team that you should take notice of. Let's see, how many people have a better record than them? 1, 2, 4. And those teams that have a better record than them, the Milwaukee Brewers, for some reason. So they have the second best in the NL. So the Milwaukee Brewers, the Houston Astros, yeah, defending champs. And Boston and the Yankees. That's a pretty good company. It's a pretty good company. They got a half game on Philadelphia. They've got 3 on Washington, 3.5 on the Mets, and 10.5 on Miami. So I feel pretty good about the Braves' chances of at least having a few All-Stars and doing pretty good by the All-Star break. But this team is something else, and they're fantastic. And here's their upcoming schedule. They being the 24th, they're off tonight. Tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday, they will be in Boston to play the Red Sox, one of those big teams that I told you about. 7:10 first pitch tomorrow, Fox Sports Southeast, Friday and Saturday. 1:05 on Saturday, 1:05 on Sunday, that is on Fox Sports South. Then they welcome in my Mets on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And by next Thursday, about the time the show starts, they will be taking on the Washington Nationals. That is at home as well. They got some fun games coming up. They got a lot of division games, it looks like. And plus, they play people like the Padres. So I feel good about the Braves. Braves are a fun watch. Go down to the Battery. Go check them out. They're worth it, guys. It's really worth the drive. The traffic is not bad. Go early. Go check out the Battery. Go check out the other places around there. The food is great. I ate at the Chop House with my wife. She suggested we check out the Chop House. It's good food. It's really good food. Plus, we got our food in like 5 minutes. Fantastic food. So go check out the Braves. They're one of those teams that are going to scrap together. I think they're going to be a wild card, if not maybe win the division, at which point if they make it, there's a chance they could upset some people, and you never know. When you make the dance is when it really starts. Last thing I want to get into is the Atlanta United game. They took on the New York Red Bulls. We had a pretty good watch party here at the Impact Media Studios. There were a lot of words said that we probably cannot repeat on the radio here. But it was a frustrating game. It was a frustrating game for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to blame the referees. I'm not going to blame a lot of different things there. It was a big culmination of some good breaks that finally caught up to the team, and we're going to be without the services of Greg Garza and I think LCP, who picked up another card as well. But overall, it was just a bizarre game. Barco had the goal early. Martinez's goal was called back, which ultimately was the turning point of the game. That should not have been called back. And I'm not saying that as a United fan. I'm saying that as a soccer fan and just an overall sports fan. That goal should have counted. Either way, LGP was called for a foul, even though it was Robinson, which set up Royer for the New York Red Bulls to score on a penalty kick. He went top middle. Guzan, it's such a crapshoot to try to stop a penalty kick. It was 1-1 at halftime. In the second half, Lorenowicz got the red card, and then it was reversed to the yellow card because they used VAR. The VAR official was Geiger, who seems to kind of shaft Atlanta a little bit here and there. It's unfortunate the way that happens. I don't blame him. I'm not saying he purposely does anything against us. I'm just saying it's really weird that the worst calls we've had in the history of the team, the short history of the team, have been involving him. But anyway, it was reversed to a yellow. That's very good. Bradley Wright Phillips had a couple goals, two fantastic shots, two headers. He's really good. He's really good, guys. So I give him credit for those. Those were just fantastic shots. Lawrence, for them, was carted off. It looked like he went to head a ball and hit him in it kind of knocked him senseless a little bit. He was carted off. He spent some time in the local hospital, and then I believe was released. But overall, it's a 3-1 loss. It's going to happen. You can't win them all, guys. So it is what it is. We look forward to the next game, which will be next Wednesday at 7:30 against the New York Revolution. That will be – I mean, not New York. New England Revolution in New England. That should be a fun game. We will have it on here at the studio. Hope you guys will be – maybe we'll try to live tweet it. We'll try to do some stuff. Who knows? Did a lot of fun stuff around here. We're going to try to up our game and do some more stuff to interact with you guys, really get everything flowing. But – you know, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate everybody tuning in to this week's Sports Club. Happy Thursday once again. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio. This has been another great edition of Sports Club. You guys, the silent salute. Enjoy the new theme. We'll see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
A lot better when you win.